Okay, we're continuing on in chapter 37. Of course, a chapter entitled, He is Our All. We got probably about halfway through it last week. We looked at the fact that He is our head. We saw that, of course, Paul speaks of his headship in relationship to the church. But he's also, you know, as head of the body, the head of the church, he's our head. And we're told that in him all fullness dwells, and our completeness flows from him. We also saw, and I don't know why my computer decided to shut down here. We also saw him as our intercessor last week, that he sits at our Father's right hand as our great high priest, as our advocate, interceding on our behalf. He's there representing us, and his intercessory ministry is an important one to us. We are no longer sinners in God's eyes, but we do still struggle with sin. And, you know, he is constantly interceding for us. Again, we spent a little bit of time last week talking again about the importance of confession. Confession of our sins is important to God. Our sins may all be paid for, but that doesn't mean that sin does not have a negative impact in our lives. In Romans 6, when Paul makes the statement that the wages of sin is death, he's not writing to unbelievers. Of course, it's true for unbelievers, but he's just saying sin is deadly. And our Heavenly Father, even though our sins can never separate us from Him, they do impact us. And as a loving Father, He is not going to just ignore the sin in our lives. He is, by means of the Holy Spirit, He's going to convict of sin. And if we want to walk in close fellowship with Him, we've got to be willing to acknowledge those sins, to see them the way He sees them. If we are unwilling to acknowledge them, it's not that God pulls away from us, but we will tend to pull away from Him, because our walk with Him will become uncomfortable. He can't be saying one thing and we saying another and us have a close walk. And so Christ is there always interceding on our behalf. Sin is never going to cause God to pull away from us. But we need to recognize the importance of our willingness to be honest to God, with God. When He convicts of sin, we need to be willing to say, "Yes, Lord, that is sin. And it has no place in my life. I am a child of yours. I am a citizen of heaven. I am the very temple of your Holy Spirit. Sin has no real place in my life." And to realize, you know, that we've got to be willing to face it and continually look to God for His provisions for dealing with it. And to see how through the cross, God has made it possible for us to be dead to sin. We no longer have to serve it. And so, you know, it's, I think, important for us, as we at times do struggle with sin, to realize that Christ is there at the Father's right hand, interceding on our behalf. And also the Holy Spirit from within is also I don't know why. Computer normally, when I'm on PowerPoint, stays on, but today it's decided it wants to keep shutting off. Now, that brings us up to the point, and let me, hang on, slide. I may end up turning this off again. Oh, I guess I'm not going to have slides today. We get up to the point where he is our life, towards the top of page 173. And he states here, he says, by now we should be seeing more clearly the wonderful truths concerning the fact that the Lord of glory is our life, and that we are, as individuals, new creations in Him. There is but one place, one position where we are to abide, and that is Him, where He is. You know, Scripture tells us Christ is our life. And you know, our source of life is the new man that is in union with Christ. We don't find life in its truest sense in our old Adamic nature. And when it talks about the life we have in Christ, it speaks about life that is life in its fullest sense. Life as God possesses it. It's not just breathing and functioning in a bodily way. It's about experiencing all that life is meant to be. And that life flows from Christ. And this is important for us to come to really grasp. Because every believer sees Christ as their Savior. But not every believer sees Him as their life. A lot of believers, you know, are looking to Him for their eternity, but they're still relying upon themselves for today. They're trying to do their best for God, but not really recognizing that, you know, to truly experience life, we live it. We take hold of it by living in union with Christ and seeing Him as our source. That is so incredibly important. He says, the resources and motivations for our daily lives are in the Son, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. The expression of our new lives here is the indwelling life of Jesus manifested in our mortal flesh. If Christ is going to be seen in me, it's going to be by His life, His character being expressed through me. It's not going to be something that I crank out. Again, this is, I think, where the fallacy was in the WWJD movement. It was, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? And then go try to do it. But that was relying on the flesh. If Christ is living in and through me, I don't have to ask what Jesus would do. He's going to be doing it through me. It's not a question I have to ask. It's Him prompting me to move in the direction He wants me to move. To be involved in the things He wants me involved in. But a lot of people You know, again, in the WJD movement and thing, they were attempting to live their lives for Christ, rather than being available for Him to live His life through them. And that's not just a matter of semantics. That is incredibly important. Again, you often hear that God wants you to live your life for Him. Or even more so, God wants you to give your life to Him. And I keep saying over and over again, He doesn't want your life. He nailed it to the cross. He wants you to embrace His life. To acknowledge that I bring nothing of value whatsoever into my salvation. I bring nothing to You, Father, that You value except me. You want me to be Your child. You want me to become Your instrument. You want me to simply be available for Your work in and through me. You know, I've heard over the years a lot of times, we'll see some very talented person who's an unbeliever and somebody say, man, just think if they got saved, what they could do for God. He probably wouldn't use their talents. Because their talents become too much about the old man. Oftentimes, God chooses to use us in the ways that we feel less talented at. Because we have to rely on Him. If I were trying to do something for God, it wouldn't be me standing up here. Because this is not my natural ability. Jonelle will tell you, I never feel comfortable. In the sense, I never feel I'm ready. I always feel inadequate. But I always know that God is adequate. And it's the only thing that keeps me teaching. Talent has always fallen more in the area of using my hands, construction, design, things of that nature. And yet, you know, God has allowed me to be involved with Him at times in that way. But that's never been the big way He's used me. And I think it's because He knows that if I am going to be dependent on Him, it's got to be in an area I don't feel comfortable with. Not comfortable in and of myself. I can be comfortable with Him. And so, you know, I remember last night when Joe and I were praying, I said, Lord, I really do not feel up to tomorrow. I really do not feel up to it. And I'm going to be teaching twice. But, you know, I also said, Lord, I know You'll be sufficient. You always are. You never have failed me yet. And Jonelle will tell you, you know, I went through, there at the school, I went through adrenal fatigue one semester. And it, along with it, went some pretty severe depression and things. And I know, day after day, I went to school and I told God I have nothing in me to give. And yet God never once failed to equip me that day for what was needed. And I remember the seniors asked me to speak at their graduation that year. And I agreed to do it, but I remember being with them in a room before it started. I turned to one of them and said, "Mary Beth, pray for me. I don't have the strength for this morning. Just pray for me." And God used me. And it wasn't about my life. It was about His life. What He's doing in and through us. We've really got to come to see that the Christian life is not about us and our abilities. It's about God's ability to use us as instruments, even in some of our weakest areas. So he goes on, he says, "Our position and our resources as new creations are certainly not in the old man. Nothing for my Christian life is found in my old Adamic life. Our death on the cross now and forever separates us from the reign of sin, and we are free to reckon on that fact. Our mind does not have to dwell on become involved with the indwelling sinful nature. Death is there. Life is in the Lord Jesus." And he says, "We are looking in the wrong direction, whether we dwell on the old man and are pulled down in depression and defeat by its sinfulness, or conversely, consider that nature to be quite harmless and good." He said, if we are focused at all on the old nature, we're looking in the wrong direction. He says, if we're looking there, burdened down and depressed by, the fact that we don't measure up, we're looking in the wrong place. We're discouraged by it. But he says, if we're looking in that direction and think, well, it's got some good, that we can use to serve the Lord, we're still looking in the wrong direction. "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." And that's true of your flesh too. He says, if we're looking in that direction, we have to slip past the cross and violate our identification with Him in His death to sin in order to traffic in that realm. Paul asks, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? The old man and that realm in which it lives, it's not who we are anymore. We need to come to see that everything is found in Christ. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him. We're told that in Him we have everything necessary for life and godliness. It's all found in Christ. And so he says, our position as new creation is not in this sin-cursed world. We are traveling through it, but are not abiding in it. Again, this is a truth that we really need to come to grips with. Unfortunately, all too often, we still feel too much at home in this world. This is not our home. Hasn't been my home since I was 5 years old, because that's when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And at that point, this world ceased to be my home. Heaven became my home. And I've lived here these many years as an alien. But unfortunately, I haven't always seen myself as an alien. And unfortunately, at times, I've wanted to fit in. We are not here to fit in. We are here to show forth the light of Christ to a lost and dying world. And we will only show forth the light of Christ when we are abiding in Him and His life is seen in us.
Rick, can I speak to that?
Sure.
You know, it might be a thought in your mind, well, if I live like that, will people be comfortable around me or will they want to be around me? How can I, you know, be used in that way? And I was just thinking about how we have prayed that in the little town of Byram where we live, that we would be the light of Christ. And you know, we're two old people, so man, I mean, who's going to want to
She's old.
Us?
I don't know about that. I'm still young.
We just ask the Lord to use us there. It's all young people, and you know, here we come. But you know, we just loved on those kids. And now when we go in there, they come out and I'm going to have to share some about what we do with them. And this one girl's a believer, and she was talking to us about her boyfriend wanted to be missionaries. I'm just saying, you just never know what the Lord's good, how He's going to use you. We won't get it. They don't make me coffee. Everybody else drinks coffee at 3 in the afternoon, I guess. And so they do that for me. Not because I'm anything, but just what God has let us be to those kids. And it has just been a sweet thing. We don't go there as much anymore. It's expensive. But we go and see them at least once a week. And I just marvel at it. You know, that the Lord would let somebody like us go in there and love all those kids. And they come, won't let us pick up our stuff. They bring it to our table and we chat with them. It's opportunities. And so don't think because you're this or that or you're young or old or you're whatever that God can't use you. And that if you just want to know and be able to see Him in you, He will make a way for you. And it is just, it's a glorious life. It's not an easy life, but it's a wonderful life. And don't think that God can't use you where you are.
No. What has turned people off, though, at times is the thing of asking, what would Jesus do? And so we get this idea and we go out in the energy of the flesh and try to do what Jesus would do. And generally, it comes across not in a good way. If Christ is truly being seen in you, it's not that everybody's going to respond favorably. But it's not going to be a put-off. Look at the life of Christ here on earth. The ones who hated Him were the religious people. Because they didn't like the fact that He revealed their hypocrisy. The sinners flocked to Him. The ones who were struggling, the ones who had needs, came to Him. He didn't. You know, you see Him going to people's houses, invited to people's houses for dinner and this and that. You know, people didn't just shy away from Him. And that's Jesus Himself. As His life is seen in us, it will be attractive to those who recognize their need. It will not necessarily be attractive to the self-righteous. They probably will not respond no more favorably to Christ being seen in us than they did towards Him when He was here. But we're traveling through this world. We're meant to be an instrument that God uses. And he goes on, he says, how is it that the growing believer can rest and be at peace in the midst of this world of death, free to hold forth and share the word of life? It is simply because his anchorage and source of life is in another person in another world. He says, you know, how is it that we can live here? How can we be at peace in this messed up world around us? How is it that we can feel free to hold forth and share the word of life? He said, because our anchor is in another source, in another place. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Christ has entered within the veil and he has anchored us there. And that's where we are. We're anchored in the very presence of God. And that's why, and he said this in an earlier chapter, keep looking down. We are often exhorted, keep looking up, and that has us down here looking up at him. We are to see ourselves in him, sourced in him, there in the heavenlies, and learn to look down on what's going on in the earth from a heavenly perspective. We're to look at what's going on in the world around us through the eyes of Christ. And so he says, the death of the cross stands not only between us and the old nature, but between us and the old and the world, this world system. Quotes from Galatians 6:14. But may it never be that I shall boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I was thinking about that verse some this week, and it really talks about how the cross has changed our relationship to the world, but has changed the world's relationship to us. It's been a two-way change. Because of the cross, the world is no longer my home. Because of the cross, though, now in relationship to the world, I'm an alien. I'm a stranger. I'm passing through. So from both directions, the cross has changed things. How the world sees me and how I'm intended to see the world. He says, there is nothing for us to rely on. There is nothing here for us to rely on. There is everything there to depend on. He says there's nothing here in this world for us to rely on. This world and those in it will let us down over and over and over again. You can't count on anything in this world. But there's everything in the heavenly realm in Christ that we can depend on. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. His grace will always be sufficient for whatever we face. It says, on earth, what do we face? Death. In glory, what do we face? Life. Quotes from Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, it is much more certain now that we are reconciled, that we shall be saved, daily delivered from sin's dominion through His resurrection life. That's Romans 5:10 in the Amplified Version. You know, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, and because of that, because we're reconciled, it says, we shall be saved through His life. Now, again, oftentimes believers fail to recognize that the word saved the full meaning of it is based on the context. If we're talking about the guilt and penalty of sin, and we're talking about being saved, that's what it's dealing with. If we're talking about the rule of sin in our lives, then when it talks about being saved, that's what it's talking about. Our salvation from the guilt and penalty of sin is a once and for all work. Our salvation from the rule of sin in our daily lives is an ongoing work. And we are delivered from sin in our daily lives through what? Through His resurrection life. As His life is being formed in us, we can live free from the power of sin. He said, if today the roots of your life are in the old nature and therefore the world, absorbing the poison and death of those cross-condemned sources, it's time to move. He says, if your daily life is tied back to this, if the life you're living on a day-to-day basis is tied to the old realm, he says you need to make a move. There is a quiet and restful abiding place just where our Father has positioned us. Our communion is with the Father and the Son where they are. We are to make the move from living in the flesh to really beginning to appropriate all that we are and have in Him. But that takes getting to know Him. And that's what the next chapter is going to be about when we get to it. Getting to really know Christ. Know Him in a very deep and full way. A lot of Christians have a very limited knowledge of Christ. They know a bit, perhaps, about Him in His earthly life. What we have in the Gospels. They know about Him as their Savior. But for many, it doesn't go much beyond that. And it impacts them. We need to get to know Him. And that's what Paul said. Paul's great burning desire was that I may know Him. This was Paul. He knew Him better than most of us do. But he still wanted to know Him. He says, is it not time to hide from the old by hiding in the new? We get away from the old by moving into the realm of the new. See, the Christian life is not about what we give up, it's about what we replace. A lot of Christians are trying to live on the basis of giving something up rather than realizing it's moving from one realm into another. In that attitude of faith and walk of fellowship, our Lord Jesus will have another life through which to reach and replenish others. Says, you know, if we walk in fellowship with Him, we'll have another life. And God will use it to reach others. He says, therefore, and he's quoting from 1 Peter 4:11, therefore, if anyone preaches, let it be as uttering God's truth. If anyone renders a service to others, let it be in the strength which God supplies. So that in everything glory may be given to God in the name of Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the might of to the ages of the ages. See, the glory is meant to go back to Christ. And that can only happen when it's His life that's being seen in ours. He says, fellowship with the old life results in nothing but sin and chastening. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus results in love and life for others. It's where we have our focus. Are we focused on the old life, trying to fix it, trying to make it look more Christ-like, trying to conquer sin? Or is our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ as our source? Are we focused on getting to know Him? By faith, appropriating all the things that we're told in Scripture are true of us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that brings us to the end of the chapter. We're a few minutes early. Are there any questions? Don't have time to get into the next chapter, so we'll put that off till next week. Okay, let me have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You for the fact that Christ is our life. And Lord, You aren't looking for talented people that can offer You anything. You're looking for people who are available and who are dependent upon You. Are willing to be nothing more than a bush through which You speak. Lord, we live in a world that's very dark. But Lord, in a dark world, even a small light can shine bright. And Lord, we continue to pray that the light of Christ might be seen in us, so that others might be drawn to Him. Lord, we don't know how much longer Christ will tarry. We know that there is a day coming when He will call His bride home. A joyous day for us, but a day of horror for the world. Lord, we're told by Peter that the only reason He hasn't returned yet is because You're long-suffering, not wishing that any should perish. Lord, You want to give everyone opportunity to accept Your provision. And so, Lord, we just pray that while we remain on this earth, that the light of Christ would shine ever brighter in and through us to those who need to see it. For it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.